So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Happy St. Valentine's Day as the world, us included, thinks about everything from greetings cards, hearts, poems, love letters, teddy bears, chocolate, you name it, whatever Valentine's Day is to you. It's kind of crazy to think, and we talked a lot about St. Valentine last week in preparation, and including, by the way, if you're just listening to this and maybe you're on your way home and your spouse says they're not that into St. Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day, that is, what do you do? Well, I have some ideas, so quick, listen to that podcast. It will be a huge help of what to do in those moments. Simple things that you can do right now if you maybe don't want to go home empty-handed. Okay, so here's the deal. You're welcome, gentlemen. It's your reminder, a public service announcement. It is Valentine's Day. Don't go home empty-handed. Okay, so St. Valentine's Day, for everyone, it's all about the greeting cards, celebrating your love. Maybe you've taken the day off. Hey, you know, I plan to make, you know, everything special today as well. I think it's a really neat day to focus on the idea and the actuality, the lived out reality of love and what it is. However, do we know that as Catholics, this day is actually about someone who died and died to celebrate marriages so that people can continue to marry, and someone who also died for the sake of God. He had that much love. He was willing to go to the death. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Have you ever fallen in love with the idea of love? Maybe not an actual person, or maybe it was a person, but how you were idealizing that person, or maybe even a situation. Maybe you've fallen in love with the idea of being a parent, a mom. We're going to talk about that today. Really fascinating. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can comment on social media because I've posted this as well. Have you ever fallen in love with the idea of being love? Yes or no? I think today our culture loves feeling in love. That's what Valentine's Day for many people is all about. And for those who consider it National Single Awareness Day, that idea of love and being in love, that's why maybe perhaps they're feeling unhappy today. But for others, they love falling in love with this idea of love. It makes us feel happy. It makes us feel good and warm and fuzzy. From the romance to the sentimentality, all of it sounds so great to some. To others, it's a headache having to, you know, jump in and do the chore of the additional things that Valentine's Day, like some other holidays that have become very greeting card-esque, almost superficial to a certain extent, maybe that frustrates you. But let's talk about the actual story of St. Valentine for a moment here, because I think this is really relevant. Why we love St. Valentine's Day. Because if we understand the real story behind Valentine's Day, we actually understand that the reason why we love it, because we feel warm and gushy about love and we want to feel in love again. And maybe you've been married 40, 50 years. Maybe you're just dating. You want to feel that specialness of Valentine's Day. Why is that? Why do we love that feeling? Well, I think St. Valentine, the actual person who inspired this day, actually teaches us a lot about why we feel and think the way we do today. So, St. Valentine was a priest who fought for love to the death. He literally fought for love to the death in two ways. Number one, at a time in the 3rd century when the Roman Emperor Claudius had determined that he didn't want young men getting married because he wanted them to fight. He wanted them to be soldiers, and he thought that having a family essentially would weigh them down. He was so wrong, and I talked about this last week on Trending with Jim O'Day, but he was so wrong. Why? Because the reality is when you love something, when you have a family, you have something to fight for. Not only to fight for, you have a reason to live and to fight harder. Not saying, you know, that other people can't fight hard, but I think it is important that, you know, the Roman Emperor Claudius totally got this wrong by trying to prevent people from marrying. Well, because of that, what happened was Saint Valentine was secretly marrying people, and he was found out. He was caught. You see, he wasn't just marrying people so they could feel romantic and celebrate a day such as Valentine's Day. No, he was marrying people because marriage is a sacrament. It's a part of, it's a vocation in life, a vocation that should orient us and direct us ultimately toward our eternal resting place with God. Marriage isn't easy. That's why it's part of a vocation, because it's that opportunity to be reminded that we are sojourners. We are travelers in this world made to be with God. That's why this sticker "not of this world" is so significant. So number one, St. Valentine fought for love to the death by marrying people in secret, because he knew how important the freedom to marry, to give love, to show love, and to show that within the context of marriage, he knew how important that was for human flourishment, for the human person. The second reason why St. Valentine fought for love to the death is because he was martyred. He died for the faith out of love for Christ. That's profound, that he was willing to die. He believed in something so profoundly. He believed, that is, not only in helping to marry people in secret when the Emperor Claudius said otherwise, but he actually was willing to fight for this because he believed in God. He loved God, and he wouldn't apostatize. He wouldn't reject the name of Jesus Christ. No, he continued to stand the course. He fought for love itself, that is God, because he believed so deeply that Jesus Christ himself is what brings and who brings eternal happiness. You're listening to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. This is significant because why do we love St. Valentine's Day? Because it makes us feel happy. It, you know, gives us that warm feeling if you're dating or married to someone. But here's the reality. St. Valentine, you may know, you know, why do we sign, for example, you know, our cards, our greeting cards, "Your Valentine"? What's the significance of this? You know, why do we give Valentine's Day cards and little Valentine's grams in school? Why do, you know, we see this as a trend? I remember having Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day parties as a kid. I remember, you know, even to this day, I love it. My mom still sends us beautiful, sweet Valentine's items on St. Valentine's Day or leading up to it. In fact, she was way ahead. I think like 2 weeks before, she sent me this adorable sweater with a heart on it, and she sent a Valentine's outfit for my baby girl. You know, there's this feeling, this love. It's actually meant to be an act, a sacrificial act, a gift. And that's what I'm reminded of. And when we give gifts, we're reminded that we're giving a part of ourselves to other people. And so Valentine, though, why do we have this trend of being called "Your Valentine" or signing our greeting cards today? Because St. Valentine actually was secretly marrying people. He was found out, and the Roman Emperor Claudius, who had said in the 3rd century, "No, you know, young men cannot marry. I want them to be soldiers, etc." Well, here St. Valentine was, and he was waiting to his judgment, his sentencing, you know, what was going to happen. And Asterius was one of the men who was going to judge St. Valentine, not a Christian. And Asterius's daughter was blind. St. Valentine healed Asterius's daughter, and in his last letter before his death, and I'll tell you how he died in just a second, he signed his letter to Asterius. His last written words were signed, "Your Valentine." Your Valentine has become a term of endearment. But how profound is it? It's so profound that someone's willing to die. That's what Valentine, St. Valentine, stood for. Death for love. That he was willing to go that far. We read, and it's fascinating because St. Valentine is a priest. He wasn't married, but when we think about it, Valentine, you know, your Valentine signing that, we think of Ephesians chapter 5, where we see the example of what St. Paul is calling Christian marriages to. And after he says, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands," he then tells husbands to lay down their lives for their wife, like Christ did for the church. And so what we're seeing is St. Valentine is living in authentic masculinity, but he's also living out the human condition in its fullness that's meant to be lived out understanding that we are not just bodies but souls made and oriented and created to be with God. And so Saint Valentine laid down his life for his bride, the church. He laid down his life so that he might be with God. He laid down his life so that others might marry and live this vocation of femininity and masculinity within the context of marriage. What a man. That's what we mean when we say your Valentine, that we are uniting ourselves with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, which is a sacrifice that Saint Valentine himself united himself with in his death. How did he die? So just before being sentenced, his last words written were to Asterius' daughter, whom he healed from her blindness, and he signed it, Your Valentine. He was sentenced to a three-part execution. This is how he died as a martyr. He was tortured. Part one, he was beaten. Part two, he was stoned. In part three, he was decapitated. Beating, stoning, and decapitation. This man was tortured. Just imagine knowing you're going to be killed. But not only are you going to be killed by having your head chopped off, maybe you'd prefer that because it's quick and easy. You just have to go through, you know, those moments before. A whole other conversation about thinking about how you actually die. But he also knew how he was going to die by the decapitation. But he knew that they were going to beat him to a pulp until he couldn't take further beating. And then they were also going to stone him. And then decapitate him. This man was sentenced not to a three-part execution, but to absolute torture in the face of knowing that they will then kill him. But he did it all. He accepted it. You see, you could only choose these out of an absolute act of love. He knew that when he was marrying people in secret, he was risking not just being punished by the Roman Emperor Claudius, he was risking death. The whole early church, the first few hundred centuries, were full of martyrs, men and women being killed for living out the faith and defending what the faith itself taught. You name it. Today, a modern version, for believing and being pro-life and upholding a pro-life position, being against abortion. Perhaps some of us may be called to be killed for this. Standing for one man, one woman in marriage. Perhaps some of us, are we willing to die for that? Or are we willing to go with whatever agenda is happening today? What are we willing to die for? That is the question that we should ultimately be asking ourselves today on St. Valentine's Day. Because he knew the risk he was taking and the strong likelihood to death, but he stood for marriage, the freedom to marry and marrying people, and he stood for love itself, that is God. The only way he could make it through what he endured, the only way he could take the risk he took, was out of love. He was equipped by love itself, that is himself, God. You see, Saint Valentine believed in eternal happiness. I'm not talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling that many of us are seeking today on Saint Valentine's Day. I'm talking about supernatural fulfillment, union with God. He was ultimately looking for what this whole hour is all about, our weekly happy hour every Monday on Trending. He was working toward joy, union with Christ. You can have that joy. You can have that eternal beatitude. You can have a glimpse of it, a taste of it now. St. Paul in the early church would talk about this idea of almost an already not yet, that we can be living in the kingdom of God, but not quite fully grasp it because we're not in heaven yet. But that's what Jesus Christ was all about. That's why he came to this earth, to bring heaven to earth, to bring about the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came to proclaim the good news, and the good news is heaven. The good news is Jesus Christ. The good news is we are all, each and every single one of us, called and created to have life with Christ. That we are meant to be with him in heaven. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. He prepares us not just for his death, he prepares us for our death so that we might be with him. You see, Valentine's Day makes us happy because of ultimately what's behind it. It's not the good feelings, but it's this idea, the understanding of a person that is Christ that people are willing to die for. And that's why St. Valentine was so beloved and so celebrated, to the point that today we literally have a secular holiday that has forgotten the man, the great man behind St. Valentine's Day and what he stood for. St. Valentine's Day, we need to remember, actually will make us happy if we understand that it answers the deepest longings of our heart, that a man, a priest, St. Valentine, died out of love for Christ. As I mentioned a moment ago, this is about our supernatural happiness, our eternal long-term happiness. We can taste this here on earth. And I'm not talking about those warm and fuzzy feelings. I'm talking about we can have heaven on earth, a glimpse of it, that already not yet moment, by keeping our eyes and our mind on God like St. Valentine did, like the early church did, like St. Paul, all of the saints and many martyrs who have walked before us. I think of the words of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where he talks about keeping essentially this already not yet component. And we see this in a lot of sacred scripture, but this is one of those moments where we see here on earth we can live out Christ's kingdom. We see St. Paul says, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. What St. Paul is saying is if we keep our eyes on God, that's why he said, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror. We're looking at God. We're trying to live out Jesus Christ, who he was, what he embodied, how he thought, how he acted. As we strive for this life of virtue, as we strive for this life of God, St. Paul says we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That is God perfecting us, but we have to keep our eyes on the prize. We have to keep our focus and our gaze on Christ. This is what allowed St. Valentine to stand for marriage when he knew he might be killed for doing so, for marrying people in secret. That we can stand and say, I will die. I will die and I will even embrace torture like St. Valentine. First beating, then stoning, then decapitation. He was sentenced to a 3-part execution, outright torture. But he endured. In the name of Christ, for Christ. So that he could be with Christ. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. Coming up, I'm going to talk about the idea of falling in love with the idea of love. Have you ever fallen in love? Do you think you've ever fallen in love with the idea of love? You thought that this person was the ideal and you romanticized the person, or maybe the idea, even through a movie. You fall in love, you overly romanticize things. Love to hear your thoughts. Go ahead and comment on my Instagram story or on Twitter. Do you think you've ever fallen in love with the idea of love? We'll be right back on Trending during our weekly happy hour. We're also going to talk about whether or not we can be happy without God. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity Health Share. Prices start at $384 a month for families. Call now to see how much you can save. 855-954-5688.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, I would love to hear from you. Here we are. We just went through Super Bowl. And tell me your thoughts. Do you do the Super Bowl, go to parties? Like, what do you love about the Super Bowl? Is it the halftime show? Is it the game itself? Or is it the food? Or would you say it's a friendship? It's the fact that people are coming together. You love spending time with them. What is it? What's, you know, foremost in your mind? And again, I think for many people, it may be all of it. Definitely not the game to me. I'm not that interested. And I'm not into football, to be honest. But I want to hear from you. So what is it? Is it the game, the teams, the food, the halftime show, or is it the people? go ahead and go share with me. Let me know what your thoughts are. You can comment on Twitter or Instagram. Follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Okay, so tell me this. Do you think you've ever fallen in love with the idea of love? Not necessarily a person, or it could be that you were with a person in the idea that you created of them. You fell in love with that. I'll give you some examples. We'll talk about this as we kind of continue on, but I think it's interesting because I think this is something that happens more often than we think. So you can also answer that question on social media at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You can even message me because I'd love to hear your thoughts, but it's on my Instagram story and Twitter. Do you think you've ever fallen in love with the idea of love? So this time of year, I usually read from the book of Tobit. Usually try to read the whole book for a couple of reasons. February, the beginning of February is really, really busy for us. We have February 2nd is our wedding anniversary. Then you jump to February 12th is my husband's birthday. And then February 14th is St. Valentine's Day. So it's a lot of, you know, kind of moving parts of fun, exciting celebrations, but three of them within less than 2 weeks is kind of a lot. But I usually read the Book of Tobit this time of year because of our wedding anniversary. Tobit was a book especially special to us, and some of the traditions behind the Book of Tobit with marriage are things that we practice in our marriage as we got married. So I was reading this morning from Tobit chapter 6. And if you know very little about the Book of Tobit, a little bit of context, this is the story of the exiles after the Assyrian conquest. That is when the Assyrians took the 10 tribes of Israel, there are 12, but the 10 northern tribes of Israel into captivity, into exile. And this is a story about some of those who were deported to Nineveh. Now, again, we could get into the fictitious versus true story. This is not considered a historical book of the Bible, although it has a proper historical context. Most people don't argue that it is actually a historical book. That's another conversation for another day. But I'm reading the story itself, diving into sacred scripture and the significance. So in the story, the book's named after a man named Tobit, and in the story, he sends his son Tobias on a journey, on an errand, essentially. And on this long errand, he tells his son to make sure he takes someone with him. And Tobias ends up taking an angel. Now, Tobias doesn't know that Raphael, the angel, is the person he's traveling with. He thinks this is just a normal human being who is a family member of his. So as he's on his way to run this errand for his father, Tobias, again, not knowing that this person is an angel, is being told by Raphael that he is going to marry a woman named Sarah, whose house they're going to stay at on their journey. Now, Tobias knows pretty well who Sarah is, even though she lives a little ways away. Tobias is very concerned at this idea because, as the story goes, Sarah has actually already had 7 husbands. This always makes me think of Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Anyways, anyone who's been there and is at the end, you know what I'm talking about. I digress. So, Sarah has had 7 dead husbands. Now, Tobias is like, ooh, you know, kind of a little nervous. I know about that. Every husband who goes in, you know, before, you know, the marriage is consummated, he dies. And so Tobias is hesitant, but Raphael goes on to tell him and convince him as to why not only is he not going to die, of course, by the intercession of God, but because essentially Sarah has been possessed by a demon. And this is why each of her husbands, the people she marries, dies. But essentially, he starts talking to Tobias about how he's going to fall in love with her, or not fall in love with her, but, you know, why she's great and how he will be safe from dying. So then Raphael, the angel, goes on to tell Tobias, he says, "Do not be afraid, for she was destined for you from eternity. You will save her and she will go with you, and I suppose that you will have children by her." When Tobias heard these things, he fell in love with her and yearned deeply for her. Okay, so this is from the Book of Tobit, chapter 6. I always find these few sentences very fascinating. Number one, you hear the angel say, "Do not be afraid, for she was destined for you from eternity," which is fascinating, which could make the argument for the idea of having a soulmate, a biblical argument for soulmate. But then we also hear the words that Tobias says he heard these things and he fell in love with her and yearned deeply for her. We don't even know that he's met her. I mean, there's nothing in this text to indicate that he's met her. We know that she's a distant relative of his and that he knows of her story of her 7 dead husbands. I mean, come on, anyone would gossip about that. But here's, I'm not condoning gossip, but here's the reality. He has fallen in love with the idea of who this woman is. Which is why I ask the question, do you think you've ever fallen in love with the idea of love? So here Tobias is, we read again that he has heard these things and he fell in love with her and yearned deeply for her. So here are 3 perspectives I have on this. Number 1 could be that Tobias fell in love with the idea of love, the idea of loving this woman, the idea of being the one man who she doesn't die after, you know, marrying and that they have a long-lasting family. Maybe the idea of saving her because he's instructed to do these things to help cast out the demon so that he can actually consummate the marriage and not die before so. So that's one idea, and we're going to come back to that. The second is, it could be that he's fallen in love with the idea of Sarah because he was literally told by the angel that she was destined for you from eternity. In other words, he's viewing Sarah as his soulmate, which again could be a biblical argument for soulmate. The third idea would be that here Tobias is, he's a young man, robust, ready, interested in being married, and boom, Raphael, who's an angel, but he doesn't know it, he just thinks he's a man who's helping travel with him and keep him safe. Well, here Tobias is saying, I'm ready, she sounds wonderful, I trust you, you've become my friend, we're on this journey together. It also sounds like it's God-ordained, given that you're saying that she's been chosen for me from eternity. And so here he is going, okay, I'm ready to make this commitment. I'm prepared. I'm ready to take that step. Even with the context, remember, of Sarah having 7 dead husbands. But he is looking at himself as a man in a context of life where he's prepared to be marriage material. He'd like to get married, and this woman sounds wonderful. So those could be the 3 perspectives that Tobias has when he's saying that he heard these things from the angel and he fell in love with her and yearned for her deeply. Because my whole thing was, how can you fall in love with someone you've not even met? But I think that I'd like to come back to this first thought I had on the statement. And that is that Tobias perhaps fell in love with the idea of love. I think this is an interesting conversation to have in our day and age. You see, falling in love with the idea of love, maybe you've been there. It's this idea of sentimentality. St. John Paul II, as a Karol Wojtyla, that is his name before he took John Paul II, is his name as Pope. John Paul II, in 1960, a book was published of his work called Love and Responsibility. And so many gems in that book, but there are 2 ideas that are presented in this work. These ideas have to do with the fact that we know as a culture we struggle with sensuality. That is, especially for men, but not just men, overly sexualizing the opposite sex and at times reducing them, objectifying them to that, and not seeing the whole person. But St. John Paul II also introduces the idea of sentimentality and sensuality being equally problematic, and that while men tend to more so struggle with sensuality, that women struggle more so with sentimentality. And I'm going to give you some examples of this in just a little bit, but really I think kind of unpack understanding what this sentimentality is. Let's look at some of the words of the great Saint John Paul II in his writings before Pope in Love and Responsibility. We read him talking about sentimentality as essentially this idea of affection, which is much of what we're discussing today here being St. Valentine's Day. This affectionate attitude, this feeling kind of side of love. He talks about how there's a different sort of desire from that of sensuality. And it's important that we understand this. So he's talking about how this sentimentality is totally different. It is a desire, but it's not sensuality itself. He refers to it as a desire of nearness, And he says this is something that's discernible. And he says it's exclusivity or intimacy, a longing to be always alone together. That doesn't sound like anything that women want. I'll read that again. Sentimentality can be an exclusivity or intimacy, a longing to be always alone together, this desire for nearness and just the two of you. Now, a lot of women are thinking, yes, that's what I want. That sounds wonderful, especially today on St. Valentine's Day. I think that's one really good reason for today, that we actually are intentional about setting aside time, as, especially for married couples, as you kind of grow apart or have less and less time together. God, I hope that that does not happen the first for many of us that we're, you know, building up our marriages. That's why you listen to the Marriage Hour here on Trending. But is this whole idea of sentimentality a good thing? It's actually not. It's ultimately infatuation. It's a taking the idea, the sentiment, the thought of a person, and taking them too far. St. John Paul II, in his work Love and Responsibility before becoming Pope, talks about this as a variety of values are bestowed upon the object of love, which he or she does not necessarily possess in reality. These are ideal values, not real ones. So what it is that you're creating this idea of a person, maybe this perfect person that you'd want to date or this perfect person you want to marry, and you're forcing these ideas onto this person. You're using another emotionally in an emotional fantasy. Again, an emotional fantasy, not a visual fantasy, an emotional fantasy. This can actually cause a person to be delusional. It is delusional in a state. Now, I'm saying this because it's not just people who might be crazy or struggling with mental illness who do this. We do this all the time, especially, not exclusively, but especially women. We objectify the opposite sex. And again, men do this too, and I think increasingly more so. I'm going to make a case for this later. We objectify the opposite sex in this emotional fantasy. The person becomes what John Paul II calls the occasion for affection. Now, if this is left unchecked, he says the discrepancy between the ideal and the reality often result in sentimental love fading or indeed changing into a feeling of hatred. Okay, we just read the summary of why so many people are struggling today with love, whether within the context of marriage, a year, 10 years in, within the context of dating. Because what sentimentality becomes is a discrepancy. Again, I'll read it. The discrepancy between the ideal and the reality often result in sentimental love, one, fading or indeed changing into a feeling of hatred. So if we just leave our love in this like warm, fuzzy feeling idea of what a lot of people think of as Valentine's Day, and we constantly try to create that, don't get me wrong, we should try to create romantic, good feelings. It's a part of our natural human fulfillment that we do need to experience this, but we're also supernatural human beings. We're meant to be with God. We have a supernatural soul. So if we leave it on that surface level of just trying to make those warm, gushy feelings of Valentine's Day all the time in our relationships, well, essentially what St. John Paul II, in his work prior to becoming Pope in Love and Responsibility, he says that fades. That's why some people will say, I don't feel anything anymore in my marriage. I don't think he feels anything for me. Because we've been sentimentalizing our relationships, our love. So for some, it can just turn into this idea of fading and almost feeling like nothing anymore. For others, if left on the level of sentimentality, can actually turn to a loathing, a hatred for the other person. It's where some people look at that other person, they say, you aren't what I thought you were. Where some people say, you're not who I married, or you're not who I thought I was marrying. A lot of this stems from this struggle that we have as human beings with sentimentality. And this is an important conversation today on Valentine's Day as we're working on wooing each other, which is a great thing to do on Valentine's Day. We should do it more often. But if we just focus on that feeling of being wooed, that's a problem. Just like sensualizing the opposite sex, significant other, is a problem as well. And so let's talk about this a little more. because it's just as bad as sensuality. St. John Paul II again says that women tend to struggle with this more than men. But I would argue, so Love and Responsibility was written and published in the 1960s. That's 62 years ago. Since then, we have some cultural wounds that are more present today. That is multiple generations who have experienced divorce. And with that, there are a lot of wounds. And there's a lot of fear of love and marriage and the responsibilities. And there's a lot of desire about love, marriage, and the responsibilities of that family life. And so what I would argue that we see is that although it might have been that we do definitely see women struggling more with sentimentality, I think a lot of men struggle with sentimentality as well. And this is actually even seen in the crisis, the epidemic we see today of pornography. We've seen in many of the psychological studies, and listen to me, this is really fascinating, that often when men and women, but when men are looking at pornography, they're not looking for pornography itself. When they start to sit down with a therapist, try to work through this behavior, what we've learned is that very often they're not looking just for the visual. The visual is what helps keep them hooked. What they're looking for when they turn to pornography, people look for specific types of pornography. Pornography of married people, pornography of moms. They're looking often for something specific. This is why pornography has become very niche, because people go searching for an emotional experience that they want, an emotional experience that they're idealizing, and then they're searching for and finding it in a visual fantasy that just makes it that much more difficult for them. But at the heart of it is still that sentimental dimension. So there's a problem. How do we fix these problems? The problem with sentimentality isn't just in relationships. Yes, we see it in dating, in the context of dating, especially not just for young people. I think a lot of us have been there. When we start dating someone and we overly romanticize this person. I was talking to someone recently who they were asking the person they were dating, have you ever fallen in love? And the person responded, they said, well, yes, I said I love you and I did love this person. You know, you can kind of view yourself having a future with this person. But it's interesting because if you really think about that, a lot of people, when you think about the idea of having fallen in love with someone who wasn't your spouse, and years later you think about, well, yeah, I did love that person. Sometimes you might think back and think it's actually kind of that idolization, that idealization that was ultimately sentimentality. I fell in love with the idea of who that person was. So that's one area. We can struggle with this in dating. We can even sentimentalize the person we marry. We can sentimentalize the idea of living together. This is why I think a lot of people move in together, because the idea sounds so great. That picture-perfect plain house. It is. It's plain house. We're sentimentalizing the relationship to something that is what it's meant to be in part, but we're not getting the whole package deal because it's not actual marriage. And that's a whole nother conversation. You can listen to the podcast I've done about the problems of moving in together. And that's really well explained to help us understand many of the psychological dimensions and the damage done to relationships in the future. But I think another way we sentimentalize things is actually in motherhood. A lot of women, I think we sentimentalize what we think our motherhood will be like, how we live it out, how we interact with our child. We sentimentalize the idea of being mothers and the idea of being children versus the reality, the hard work, the sacrificial love, that it is a joy and a gift, but it's not the sentimentalized idea. And this is why a lot of people are struggling today being parents, especially women, because they've sentimentalized, they've romanticized the idea of having children. It's good, it's great, but it's not exactly what we fully understand or think ahead of time. You see, what's happening ultimately is we love the idea of the ideal. And if I were to summarize what sentimentality is, that's what I would argue that it is. It's the idea of the ideal. And we try to force that ideal onto the person or situation that we're trying to create. But I want to come back here on Trending and talk about solutions, the reality of the human person, and how we overcome the sentimentality in our culture that, yes, we love, we have fun, we enjoy anniversaries and Valentine's Day, but we also see the reality of the human person and move beyond the sentimentality that is so prevalent in the movie world, in the romantic culture that we live in, so that we can have the real, gritty, love that we're ultimately called to, which is what's seen on the cross, where Christ is bloody, bruised, and beaten. Today's programming is brought to you by Colby Academy, offering a customized Catholic curriculum. Colby Academy knows the ultimate goal of education is to help our children be saints. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Can go and answer this question on Instagram. I thought it was especially pertinent question on today being St. Valentine's Day, whether you're dating, married, whatever state in life you are experiencing. We've been discussing the problem of sentimentality in the culture. The crisis of sensualizing things is a problem. In fact, St. John Paul II talks about how sentimentality is just as bad as the sexualization we see, because sentimentality is this emotional romanticization. It's a delusion, essentially. And yes, even so-called sane individuals not struggling with mental health can actually go through this. This challenge, and it's posing problems within the context of dating, marriage, living together. It's part of what living together is, this sentimentality about what the idea of marriage is, that we want it, but we don't want it all, because for some reason there is a problem with commitment, or we could, again, I digress, it's another conversation. But it's also seen within motherhood as well. We love the idea of the ideal, and then all of a sudden you find yourself being a parent, and a lot of women experience this. They're suddenly a parent and it's not what they thought it would be. They thought they would like all of these things, but it's a lot harder or different or more challenging than what they experienced. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but I'm saying this is what we're struggling with as a culture, where we love the idea of the ideal. Share with me on Instagram maybe how you found that you've experienced this yourself. Answer the yes-no question, but direct message me if you have a story you'd like to share. I'd love to hear it. But let's talk about the solutions, because we've been talking about this last hour. Fascinating conversation. I hope you'll go back and listen to this podcast if you weren't with us all hour. I tell the real full story of St. Valentine, the significance for all of us. And I explain more of the sentimentality we struggle with as a culture. You're listening to Trending with Timory. I wanted to let you know, by the way, that we've met our need here for our pledge drive to continue to operate for the next few months at Relevant Radio. So thank you so much if you supported us. We could not do what we do without you. If you would still like to support us, trust me, we have debt to pay off. We have needs to continue to grow here at Relevant Radio. We will appreciate and use anything you can give today. If you didn't already donate, the number is 1-877-291-0123. Help impact the culture and bring Christ through the media, through us here at Relevant Radio. So, and if you want to donate online, it's very easy, and we still have thank you gifts for you. So please check it out. The number's 1-877-291-0123 or relevantradio.com. So let's talk about the solutions for the sentimentality in the culture, the love of the idea of the ideal. How do we get over that? Well, ultimately, we need to turn to the reality of the human person. Understanding that I am made to love and be loved. We can't just have one without the other. If I just try to go around loving everyone but rejecting love in the return, it's a very broken dimension of love, which is fundamentally what we're called to as humans, and will eventually atrophy. Now, if I am only going around receiving love and experiencing love, and I'm just an absolute terror to other people, again, we'll atrophy, we'll implode, we'll turn in on ourselves, we'll shut down, we won't be happy. This is why if we look to the great history of philosophy and theology and the teaching, we understand, whether it's Aristotle before the time of Christ, the philosopher, or St. Thomas Aquinas and St. John Paul II, we understand how important the idea of willing the good of the other is. This is why they talk so much about friendship and romantic love. You see, summarizing and looking at their works, that's why it's important we understand that we're called to seek the other person as an end to be sought after, not simply as a means of getting what we want. Because the other person is a good. They're a totality that should be sought after, not an ideal or an idea or what we try to make them into. That we try to make them make us feel good. This is a challenge today, and I'm talking about this on the feast day of St. Valentine, which I talk about why St. Valentine, if we really understand his story, this day will actually make us happy. But if we are in love with Valentine's Day and the commercial version of it, we're going to get it wrong in our relationships, but even in isolation. It's funny because I even think about how I could have this attitude of, oh goodness, my day has been ruined because I love the idea of St. Valentine's Day and I want to have these perfect feelings all day long. And, you know, the reality is my daughter has skipped her naps, has been totally difficult. Finally, you know, she's taking a nap now, but she is skipping her naps, which is terrible because I was trying to get my work done extra early so that I had extra time for a really nice dinner and dessert tonight with my husband. You know, but then also we started our day off not so great. We're totally disagreeing. We're in the process of buying a house and there's all the craziness of the paperwork and just the house is in total shambles being packed. And we both came to the dinner table totally upset with one another. We've been bickering throughout the morning. And I could have this idea. I could, and some people act this way. Well, you ruined Valentine's Day. It's only breakfast, right? We could have this mindset. It's so easy because we so romanticize this day. Well, we don't just romanticize this day and what we want it to be. We romanticize our dating relationships. We romanticize our marriage. This is the problem of sentimentality. This is why we have to work on understanding that we as human people are created for love to give and receive it. That means we actually have to want to the good of the other person. We have to see the other person as a good in and of himself or herself. Not just as a way for us to get there. My husband isn't a way for me to enjoy Valentine's Day and feel good about myself. It's also a way for me to see how can I choose you and fill you up and love you today, even in the messiness of our home and the messiness of life. We're not made for this world. We're made for eternity with God. And this is why this journey on earth is us walking through that crucible, that challenge, that purging that we're called to so that we might make it through this transformation, this challenge, so we might be with God one day. See, this is why the only proper attitude to have toward the other human person is love, as St. John Paul II says, paraphrasing. It's not for us to have a fantasy and try to force our fantasy on another human person or a situation. It's not for us to use another person physically or even emotionally in this emotional feeling that we try to create about the other individual. It's a delusion, as I discussed earlier here on the show. No, in order to get rid of sentimentality in our culture, because remember I said St. John Paul II said that two things will happen if we don't overcome sentimentality. It'll become a discrepancy between the ideal and the reality, he said. But he said two things will occur. One, either the love will fade, or two, we'll develop a hatred for that person or situation that we romanticize with our sentimentality. And the experience of fading is where we feel nothing anymore. Or in the experience of hatred, this idea of you aren't what I thought you were. But to overcome this, it requires a radical life of virtue. It requires self-control, temperance, modesty, not just in how we dress, but how we speak in our thoughts, which again comes back to self-control. It requires chastity, that is, understanding faithfulness to our vocation and the intimacy falls within the context of whatever state in life we're in. It requires charity above all others, charity. Charity toward the other person. But it also demands humility. The humility to question ourselves, our motivation, our actions. To examine and humbly recognize that sometimes the way we're loving and expecting love from other people does need to be put in check. So I tell you today on the feast day of St. Valentine's Day, Happy Valentine's Day. Good St. Valentine's. Please pray for us.